This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob, Lonzo, you. The Hub City Spartanburger text line open 844-326-3663 is the number. 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. You can text that number and get your text read on the air. Like the texter who said, does French toast enter the breakfast foods conversation? Not only does it enter, it's gold medal. It's gold medal. French toast is easily an S-tier breakfast food. Now, got to be made well. Got to be made right. I've had some bad French toast, but you get somebody who makes that good French toast where the bread is good and soggy, but it still has that fluffiness to it,
Do you prefer like brioche for your French toast?
Don't care.
It does. One thing it shouldn't be is too eggy.
I completely concur. And to have it be too eggy ruins the French toast. So it's got to be a little eggy, but not too eggy. Bread's still got to maintain that fluffiness, that thoroughly. I will tell you that the Madre used to make French toast with Texas toast. I'm going to tell you right now, Texas toast underappreciated.
Cinnamon?
What's that?
Cinnamon?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And a little vanilla extract when you put the whole thing together. Untouchable. It's an S-tier breakfast food without a doubt. Texture said, bring back Tebow for the tush push. Dude is built like a tank. That is from Twisted Whisker. Twisted Whisker, appreciate it. Welcome to the Armada, bud. Good to have you. Look, I've said a number of times, I think Tim Tebow could have been a long-time NFL quarterback. I just think Tim Tebow was, respectfully, prideful, which is obviously against everything that we know about Tim Tebow the person. Hell, everything I know about Tim Tebow the person. I've spent more time with Tim Tebow than anybody that's worked on this radio station. Good dude. Not a prideful guy, but I think in this case he was. I think he wanted to prove that he was a traditional NFL quarterback, and the reality is, why would you not take advantage of the physical gifts that you have? And I think if he would have been that guy, he would have been in the league for a very, very long time, but he didn't want to, and I think it cost him probably another 4 or 5 years in the NFL career where he could have been Taysom Hill. He could have been Taysom Hill before Taysom Hill was Taysom Hill. He could have been that guy, and he didn't want to make the move. He didn't want to make the move, which, again, his decision, his call, but I think he cost himself. But that's another discussion for another time. 844-326-3663 is the number to text the show. We'll read them on the air. You can also call that number and jump on the air. You can tweet me at the Rob Brown Show. You can tweet the great one, Lonzo, at Lonzo on Word. You can get up at everybody at the Fan Upstate. So, ESPN has put out a ranking of all 136 FBS quarterback situations ahead of the 2025 season. The reason that I bring this up is because of a conversation that we had a couple of weeks ago on the show. It is never too early. I mean, it is, but it's never too early to start 2026 NFL draft talk. All right. We're only 11 months away from the NFL draft. Never too early.
Be here before you know it.
And one of the discussions that we had was about the quarterbacks at both Clemson and South Carolina. I've made the prediction a couple of times. I think it is a realistic possibility, and I would even be willing at this point to say that I think it is a probability that the state of South Carolina will have not one but two Heisman Trophy finalists this year. I think it is very possible, dare I say probable, that both Cade Klubnik and Lenora Sellers are sitting in the downtown athletic club at the conclusion of this season, waiting to find out if either one of them wins the Heisman Trophy. And if that does happen, then obviously it is going to mean at that point that these two teams had a pretty good run of it. Last night, PJ Glasser on BetMGM Tonight asked me, Rob Brown, if I gave you $100 of free bets, but I told you I had to put them on either Clemson over 9.5 wins or South Carolina over 7.5 wins, where would you put that number? I went and I looked. Clemson's win total is set at 9.5 at a -110 both directions. South Carolina's win total is set at 7.5, but there is a little extra juice to the under at -115. As I talked about with the NFL conversation in the last segment, when it comes to those numbers, minus means favorite. It is more likely to be an outcome. And when they have a 50-50 read, those two lines are usually going to be very similar, like a -110 in either direction, over or under. If there is a bigger minus money number to one side or the other, or if one side has a plus, that means they believe it's less likely to happen. And the further apart those two numbers are, the more dramatically they believe one side is more or less likely to happen. South Carolina's win total right now set at 7.5, and they have it at -115 to the under, -105 to the over, which means that they believe South Carolina is going to end this season as a 7-win football team. That is the belief of BetMGM as it stands right now. We've already done the schedule breakdown, opening with Virginia Tech on August 31st. Then it's SC State, Vandy at home, on the road at Mizzou, home against Kentucky, at LSU, home for two games, Oklahoma and Alabama, at Ole Miss, at Texas A&M, back home for Coastal, and then wrapping up the season, obviously, with Clemson on the 29th of November. So, we have talked about the fact that if these two teams hit their overs, it's largely going to be because of the quarterback at both schools. So ESPN ranks the college football quarterback situation and do so into tiers, because if you're going to rank things in tier, or if you're going to rank things on the internet, nowadays we don't do power rankings, we do it in tiers. You have S tier, superior, then A, B, C, D, E, F tier, all the way down to F tier, which is the fail tier. Well, they have tier one, S tier, top of the class, they have 11 players in the rank. Those 11 players are, or excuse me, those schools are LSU with Garrett Nussmeier and Michael Van Buren Jr., Oklahoma with John Mateer, Michael Hawkins Jr., and Whit Neubauer, Penn State with Drew Aller and Ethan Grunkmeyer, Clemson with Cade Klubnik and Chris Vezina, South Carolina with Lenora Sellers and Air Nolan. Now, they do go and they put a few more guys into Tier 1B. They have Cade Klubnik and Lenora Sellers both not just in Tier 1, but in Tier 1A. When it's all said and done, Tier 1B, they have DJ Lagway at Florida, Carson Beck at Miami, and Arch Manning at Texas. In Tier 2, Arizona State with Sam Levitt, Baylor with Sawyer Robertson, Georgia Tech with Haynes King, Iowa State with Rocco Becht, which is a great quarterback name. Tier 3, they have Arkansas, Duke, Kansas, Louisville, Navy, SMU, TCU, Texas Tech, and Vanderbilt behind Diego Pavia. So just to kind of give you an indication of what these tiers shape up like for ESPN. This is very interesting. ESPN puts a couple of facts in here that come into the discussion. They point out that in the playoff era, 8 quarterbacks have racked up at least 4,100 yards and 43 touchdowns while having 7 or fewer turnovers. 8 quarterbacks have done it. One of them was last year's Cade Klubnik. The other 7... 5 Heisman winners and 2 finalists. And of the other 7, every single one of them was selected within the first 10 picks of the NFL draft the next year. They go on to point out that no quarterback had more touchdown passes on throws of 20 yards or more last season than Klubnik, who had 16 of it. His line on deep balls, 47% completion percentage, 16 touchdowns, 3 picks, averaging 16.6 yards per attempt. In the playoff era, 14 players have posted a line of 4,000 yards, 40 touchdowns, 9 yards per pass, and no more than 10 turnovers. That group includes 13 players selected in the first 15 picks of the draft, 6 Heisman winners, and 8 more finalists. Cade Klubnik's in that group. Mateer missed that club by only 36 yards last year. And then they go on to Lenoris Sellers. Last year, weeks 1 through 9, a 51.7 QBR, 5 passing touchdowns to 4 interceptions, and 6.91 yards per pass. In weeks 10 through the bowl game, those numbers jumped. QBR in the first 5 weeks, or first 9 weeks, 51.7. In weeks 10 through the bowl game, QBR of 81.4. In the first 9 weeks, 5 passing touchdowns. Week 10 through the bowl game, 13. In the first 9 weeks, 4 picks, same number for week 10 through the bowl game. And in the first 9 weeks, 6.9 yards per pass. In week 10 through the bowl game, 9.85 yards per pass. Lenoris Sellers, at the end of last year, had almost, not quite the same, but almost the same trajectory as Bryce Young did at Carolina. A trajectory that has NFL fans talking about whether or not BY will be in that group of elite quarterbacks this year, if he has done enough to get himself into that conversation. Lenoris Sellers had the same trajectory as a college quarterback last year. And OBT Dubs, let's also point out that the end of the schedule last year was not an easy one for the Gamecocks. We obviously know that they ended the year with the Clemson Tigers, and we know how big of a game Lenoris Sellers had in that run. But this includes the Illinois game, where he did not have a full complement of players. That includes against number 23 Mizzou, on the road at the same Vanderbilt team that beat Alabama, and at home against Texas A&M, all in that mix where all of a sudden those numbers started to come out. So when I said a week and a half ago that in looking at 2026 NFL draft odds, and let's keep it a buck, I looked at those draft odds not because I'm ready to start making predictions about the 2026 NFL draft. We got a lot of sports between here and 11 months from now. I looked at those odds because those odds, I think, give you a pretty good indication of what people are expecting out of the big names in college football this year. And Cade Klubnik and Lenoris Sellers were both in the list of guys who have odds on the board right now to be selected number one overall in the draft next year. And I know that that is not a crazy stat. Because again, last night, 8:20 p.m. was on BetMGM Tonight. I'm there every Tuesday if you want to check it out. Ryan Horvath, big college football guy. I'll be hosting BetMGM Tonight this Friday with Horvy. And Horvath loves when I show up because, hell yeah, we'll talk college football in May. Of course, never too early to talk CFB. Yeah. So we got to having this conversation last night when PJ said, $100, who you betting? South Carolina over 7.5, Clemson over 9.5. And my answer was, give me 50 on both. And in my answer to that, in my explanation for that, I did point out the belief that the state of South Carolina could very well have 2 Heisman Trophy finalists in New York City. Now, again, Lenoris Sellers is a little bit down the odds list, but not that far. Arch Manning is your Heisman favorite at 7-1. Cade is second, tied with Garrett Nussmeier. Both of those cats are 9-1. Julian Sayin, 13-1. Jeremiah Smith, 13-1. Drew Aller, 16-1. DJ Lagway, 17-1. Dante Moore, 18-1. Lenoris Sellers, it's 22-1. 9-1. He has the 9th best odds in the country to win, not show up, win the Heisman. Those odds are better than Carson Beck, John Mateer, Austin Simmons, Sam Levitt, CJ Carr, Kevin Jennings, who was a failed drive away from the ACC title last year, Gunnar Stockton, Miller Moss, Ryan Williams. These are all names you're going to hear and are going to be talked about at length in the football season this year. He's got better odds to win the Heisman than all of them. So I've already made the call. I think there's two South Carolina football players sitting on the stage at the Downtown Athletic Center for the Heisman Trophy celebration at the end of the year. And I think because of that, these two teams are both good bets to hit the over cash on their season results. With that being said, the numbers back it up too. The numbers back it up for Cade Klubnik, who has a stat line that only 8 quarterbacks have hit in the playoff era. And of those 8 quarterbacks, 7 of them were Heisman finalists. 5 of them won the Heisman. All 7 of them were drafted inside the top 10 picks of the draft the next year. The only guy who has not accomplished those things is Cade Klubnik, who obviously, if he hits that stat line again this year, will absolutely be at the Heisman Trophy ceremony. And then there's Lenore Sellers, who, like I said, similar trajectory in season to BY last year. BY is being talked about in the NFL circles. Lenore Sellers being talked about in the college football circles, to the point that last night in this discussion, Ryan Horvath said, "I will take a bet right now that Lenore Sellers is the number 1 overall draft pick in the NFL draft next year." That's how good he thinks this cat's going to be. Ryan Horvath has no reason to blow smoke at you guys. I've told you, I will criticize your team. I will bash your team when they deserve to be criticized and bashed. I do not pull punches when I am trying to objectively analyze and break down your teams for you. I do not kiss the booty of any school in our market. I do not hate on any school in our market. It's not my style. I'm going to be honest, objective about you as I can, even though it gets me in trouble with my wife. She's a Gamecock. I'm going to be honest with you. But I still get accused of it, especially when I do the national show, right? I say stuff like that about Lenoris and about Cade Klubnik, and I get people that text that show and go, "Oh, you're in South Carolina. You're just a homer," whatever. Ryan Horvath has no reason to kiss the butt of Gamecock fans or Tiger fans. He's got no reason to kiss the butt of South Carolina or Clemson fans. In fact, Ryan Horvath goes out of his way to have a contrary opinion to me when we host shows together. Ryan Horvath last night hosts the BetMGM Tonight on the BetMGM Network, a job that you do not just get. You got to be good at this stuff. Ryan Horvath said, "I will take a bet right now on Lenore Sellers to be the number 1 overall draft pick next year. Speaking of, when it comes to national championship odds, leader right now, Ohio State to repeat 6-1, Texas 6.5-1, Georgia 7-1, Oregon 8-1, so is Penn State, Alabama 11-1, Notre Dame 14-1, Clemson 16-1. Lonzo, South Carolina is 50-1. Those are odds that are identical to Tennessee and Oklahoma and just behind Auburn and ahead of SMU, who almost won the ACC last year.
Wait, you're telling me this ain't Tennessee's year?
Apparently not. Tennessee, it is May 28th, and Tennessee doesn't know who their starting quarterback is.
Does Ohio State?
Thanks, Nico Iamaliava.
It's probably Julian Sain, but
Julian Sain.
Okay.
He's in the top 10 odds to win the Heisman. It's Julian Sain. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So this is an interesting take that was on the Barstool Sports College Football podcast, but I do think it is a very interesting football discussion at large. Pass interference in the landscape of football. College, it's a spot foul. NFL, it's 15 yards, et cetera, et cetera. We all know the rules. But one of the hosts, Big T, a host on the Barstool Pod, had an interesting proposition for handling the PI moving forward. I am curious as to how many people will be on board with this concept. He said, and then didn't once again have his speaker set up right. One day I'll remember that. Here is the take. I mean, it's a dramatic usage of attempted homicide, but I also get it. I mean, it's a, you know, we like to be dramatic in radio. It's kind of what we do. Zoe, he says, do not eliminate PI when a ball is caught. Tack it on. Right? Add it on, you should get an and one. You should get the benefit of the catch and the result of the play and then a penalty, because the penalty is on the infraction, not on whether or not the guy caught the ball. If he catches the ball, excellent performance, you got interfered with and still came down with a catch. You should be rewarded for that. And said on top of that, that his belief is that we should eliminate pass interference on underthrown balls. Now, we would have to reach a consensus on what we define as underthrown. Does that mean like it has to be within a 5-yard halo, a 10-yard halo? Does it mean a ball that hits a defender in the back is considered underthrown? Which I actually don't hate that, but I would need to have the conversation to see if we could come up with a definition of what an underthrown ball is. Otherwise, I got no problem with it. I actually really like the concept of an and one in football, where if you were interfered with and you make the snag, the result of the play stands and we tack penalty yardage onto the end, because an offensive player should reward success in the face of a violation.
By the way, it doesn't work if they don't call it. So no matter how much you want it to be, it's just not gonna. I do have a problem with it because of the speed of the game and how fast these guys are. So they can be interfered with and stopped from catching the ball because they move so fast. Just a tug could stop you from getting there where a normal person might not be able to.
I mean, well, first off, we can't officiate college or pro football based on what normal people could do, because these dudes are freaks. Right? Like, even low-level college football players compared to the average dude are still freaks.
Right. That's what I'm saying. The speed of the game, just a little bit of a tug can stop them from getting another 10 yards. So if you do that, they're going to start getting mugged before they I just don't like it.
I think you leave everything about the rule the same. I believe all pass interference, every level of the game, all pass interference should be a spot foul. Wherever the interference, if the ball isn't caught.
By the way, I do agree with you there. Yeah. I like that rule better. I like the spot foul better because it makes it more, especially if it's way down the field and it's a spot foul, it makes it mean more and may cause a defender to think twice about it.
Yeah, I mean, look, and this was a debate that I saw break out on social media yesterday, where a guy said, I'll make it a spot foul, and another dude said, no, 15 yards makes more sense. And the guy said, okay, wait a minute. So what happens if wide receiver, defensive back are running stride for stride down the field, last play of the game, it's a Hail Mary to the end zone for a tutty or bust, and you know, the wide receiver gets a step on the DB. Like, he's clearly going to be open, and the DB tackles him 50 yards down the field. The offense gets another shot, but they only move up 15, versus if I'm the DB and I know it's a spot foul, wherever I grab him and tackle him at or interfere with him at is going to be the spot. Well, now all of a sudden, maybe it just makes more sense to take the risk that they don't connect, or that I got safety help over the top. And so I think all PI should be a spot foul, but I really do like the idea, really do like the concept of having an and one. And I think maybe it's just 5 yards, right? So if there is a pass interference and the ball is caught by the, or the other way around too, right? Like, if there's an offensive pass interference and it turns into a pick, wherever the defender is tackled, he should get extra yardage there too. But P.I., regardless of which team catches the ball, if there is a pass interference on a team and the other team still completes the catch as either an offensive catch or an interception, if there's a P.I. and the other team still completes the catch, then they should be given the opportunity to finish the play, get tackled wherever they get tackled, and then let's give them a bonus 5 because you did something special there. You got interfered with and still came up with a snag. There should be a bonus attached to that. I like the concept quite a bit, if for no other reason than when a DB is attacking the ball and there is the risk of PI involved, and now you know that if you PI and that guy completes the catch anyway, you are giving them the result of the play and an additional 5 more yards. I got to think this would be a really good reason for DBs to be a little bit less aggressive in attacking the football and creating pass interferences in the first place, which leads to smoother football. I think this is a great idea.
Does the players' union have any say in what's called a penalty?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that they...
That would be unfair treatment. You'd be treating a certain position, for the most part, differently than other positions.
I don't think so, because I'd say it goes the other way for DBs too, right? Like how many times have we seen a ball...
When's a lineman going to get something extra for doing something good? I'm just saying.
Fat boys are people too. I don't know, man. I think as often as O-linemen get away with holding calls, I think they got their cake. I think they got their slice. I think they're good. I don't know. I listened to this take last night. It came across my social media feed for the first time. I listened to this take, and the first time I listened to it, I was like, man, I don't know how I feel about that, right? Like, we're just going to start arbitrarily handing out fivers here and there, because I did have the reaction of, yeah, I think make it a 5-yard penalty that is stuck on to the end of your play. If you complete the catch, 5 additional onto the end. If you don't complete the catch,
even
spot
if
foul.
I was going to say, even if it's a spot foul,
no.
You're going to add that 5?
Nope. This is the reason I say and one, like in basketball. If you are fouled on the shot and the shot goes down, the shot counts and one. You get the free throw as your bonus for converting on a shot that you played through the foul and scored on. This is the football and one. We, instead of calling it and one, I'll call it and 5. This is and 5. So if you're a wide receiver and you come across the middle and the ball gets thrown to you and you go up and you are hit before the ball gets there by a linebacker, and yet you elevate and make the catch, you come down, you land, maybe you pick up 2, 3, 4 more yards after the catch, maybe you yak daddy it for 10 or 12 more, and then you get brought down. You did something extra, and you did something special, so we're going to give you and 5. We're going to give you a reward for doing that special thing versus...
Does that also come with a smiley face to put on their uniform?
I mean, you don't have to be sarcastic about it.
Yeah, I do.
You lack the ability not to be, but you don't have to be. No, I really do think it is... I really do think it is just a matter of there should be, in this case, somewhat of a reward to players who do something exceptional and special in the game. And I think playing through a PI, coming up with the snag anyway. If you don't come up with the snag, whatever it is, what it is, it's a spot foul, wherever the interference happened, it's your ball in that spot. If you play through the foul and you come up with a catch, just like a basketball player who knocks down a field goal while getting fouled, if you knock down the foul and catch the rock, wango bango, you are you're awarded something. I don't know. I like the idea. So that we're clear, it's never going to happen. But I actually really do like it. I think it's a great idea. I think we should incentivize people making special plays. Joey B on the stream said, I'm good with that, but in return, make PI reviewable. The added penalty for PI without it would make the possibility of a ref show much more likely. I agree. Make PI reviewable. And then hold referees accountable for reviewing it properly and correctly, because we tried this once and the refs are bad at their job and refuse to do it the right way, and we all suffer for it. make it reviewable, and hold the Stripes accountable for doing it the right way. No, I'm not bitter. Why do you ask?
What a rubbing Rob's back kind of take. I'm just saying.
No, that's just a guy who knows ball.
Uh-huh.
That's just a guy who knows ball.
Uh-huh.
Coming up in the next segment. Got a few more sports talk takes for you. And then, you all know who Sturgill Simpson is? Probably my favorite active country music artist on the circuit right now.
Wait a minute. His first name is Sturgill?
Sturgill Simpson. He's a hell of a player. Yeah, even country, you'd actually like the kid.
Yeah,
he can play. His songs are dope. He just released a banger of a song about a topic that I love dearly and passionately. And we will share it next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wrapping up the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate.
We can just listen to this bad, so we don't have to.
I like this one a lot.
So we don't have to listen to country music because I just.
Well, that's coming. I'm gonna play that for you right at the end of the segment.
Okay.
I'll give you a couple minutes.
Okay.
I'll give you a couple minutes to hang out.
I don't
know
if the prep time's enough for me, but we'll see.
I would like to say that both Lonzo and I were big Dan Campbell guys. How could you not be a Dan Campbell guy?
Especially after watching him try to put that beanbag chair in.
Yeah.
It was just amazing.
He's just a dude. Big Dan Campbell guy. Dan Campbell, of course, gets hired as the head coach of the Detroit Lions. And, when he broke out the bite their kneecaps slogan a couple of years ago, I was like, all right, you try hard. Relax, dude. Like, if you're going to be the guy who says stuff like bite their kneecaps, like, you gotta have the rizz to carry it, and I felt like he didn't.
That was my old school high school coaches, so I was in on that.
Yeah, most of whom I thought were dorks that were tryhards. Oh, you couldn't do anything with real football, so here you are. I had like 3 or 4 coaches that I really liked, and then a squadron of assistant coaches that were just absolute drill instructor wannabe tryhards. They're like zero inspiration, motivation, because I can tell you're not doing and saying and yelling about all this stuff because like it's really you. You're doing it because like you're trying to live up to this stereotype. But I will acknowledge that over the past 2 years, Dan Campbell has won me TF over because that locker room is bought all the way in. I still firmly believe if it wasn't for the fact that the Detroit Lions had an injury list thick enough to make a competitive team with last year, I argue the Lions at full strength could have beat the Eagles at full strength last year. That's how good I think that team was. They just got the crap beat out of them. Now, a lot of people continue to make the argument that the reason they were a mash unit last year was because of the fact that they do play so aggressively, that they do play so violently. They got that Dan Campbell bite him in the kneecaps mentality of like, we're just going to hit you and hit you and hit you and hit you until we feel like we've hit you enough, and then we're going to hit you some more and again and again and some more. It's grown on me. I don't know if Dan Campbell will ever win a Super Bowl with Detroit because, frankly, I don't know if the Lions playing that style of football will ever make it through a season unscathed enough to win one. But I do like the attitude. I do like the mentality. I do like that old school blue collar, bring your lunch pail, let's get dirty and play defense mentality for an NFL team. I'm not saying like that's gotta be it. I'm just saying I do like it. So we talked earlier in the show. We played you the clip from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN during the ban of the tush push conversation. And Fowler said that it was all but assumed by a lot of the NFL folks that when they got to the vote, that the ban of the tush push was going to pass, but it ended up not passing. Jeff Lurie, the owner of the Eagles, got up there, gave a very impassioned speech about, hey, just because we figured out this thing and figured out how to best adapt to and execute the thing doesn't mean you take away from the thing that's against the spirit of the game. And then they put Jason Kelce up there, who, of course, was the center for the Eagles for a very long time, was the tip of the spear that was the tush push when the tush push became a thing. And they put him up there. And he said, look, I know you're trying to paint this as a health and safety thing. I'm telling you, as a guy who literally was at the center of that play for a very long time, it's not dangerous. It's not a dangerous play. I feel safe doing that play. We've built it that way, right? And they ended up overturning it. 22 teams said yes, 10 said no. They needed 24 to say yes and 8 or fewer to say no. 10 said no. There was one team in the list of teams that voted against the ban of the tush push that plays the Eagles this year. It's the Detroit Lions, Dan Campbell's Detroit Lions. The Lions said, no, we don't want to ban this play. We'll just figure out how to stop it. Dan Campbell said, when asked about the Lions' reason for not voting it, he said, quote, I'm of the school of, look, we don't run that. With Jared Goff, we're not going to. It doesn't mean we don't quarterback sneak, but we don't do that. But I am of the school of, hey, they found something, and it's for everybody else to stop it. So I'm of a hard yes of keeping it in the rule book. Philly is obviously known for this because they're the ones who've really kind of perfected it and done it and done it and do it over and over. And I'm like, good for them. And if you got something, we got to stop it. So, like, to me, leave it in. We play them this year. We've got to find a way to stop it. And I like that. End quote. Yes. Yes. Give me more Dan Campbell. And I would even go so far as to say that while obviously there are coaches who take it too far, I like this mentality. And I like this mentality. I would like to see this mentality in the youth game a little bit more, in the young game, the middle schoolers, the high schoolers, the college guys a little bit more. And I would like to see this mentality a little bit more because I think what you would end up with is less of a game where every time a wide receiver comes up not making a catch, they don't get up and start throwing their hands around, throwing their arms around like somebody just punched their dog. What I would like to see is when a DB gets beat, cooked down the sideline, gives up a big play, he doesn't turn around and start jawing at every one of the other guys on the field like, oh, that was your job. You messed it up. It is my fault. This is much like I gave the old butt slap and good game to the SEC coaches earlier for promoting to Greg Sankey the 5+11 format, where the 5 college football conference champions go and 11 at-large spots. I like a measure of accountability. I like a measure of, it's on us. We got to do it. We got to get it done. We got to make this work. I like that. And I think if we could instill that in more football players, we'd be better off for it. I don't mean to be old man screams at cloud here, but I think this is a really good opportunity to utilize sport. We always talk about Little League sports is for two reasons. Number one, have fun playing the game. Number two, to teach life lessons in ways that only sports can teach it. Being a good teammate, accountability, winning with grace, losing with dignity, et cetera, et cetera. That Dan Campbell mentality of we play them, and just because they kick ass at this thing doesn't mean we should just take it away from them. We just got to figure out how to stop it. I like that. I like that a lot. Well done, Dan Campbell. It is going to be hard for me not to openly root for the Detroit Lions this year. Like, that's just a likable team. It's a likable quarterback who got cast off, likable set of skill guys, likable head coach. That is a team that is going to be really easy for me to pull for next year.
You might want to find another team to pull for.
Nah.
I mean, you know. So
that's how much I like them.
No, that's what I mean. Yeah. I mean, other than the own your team that you normally pull for.
Oh, no, I'm not going to pull for my team. My team sucks.
Okay. All right.
I'm not going to waste my time. All right, before we get to what the X is going on, ladies and gentlemen, Sturgill Simpson is a wonderful country music artist. In fact, I say that he is in the vein of the old school artist, singer-songwriter style, phenomenal guitar player, and his lyrics, his music is more than just skin deep. He is a good artist. He doesn't just say, give me the formula to churn out a bunch of pop radio singles. He actually has good stuff, and he cares about his fans. Joey B was at a show in Asheville, said he played 3.5 hours, no set breaks in Asheville a few days ago. I'm not shocked by that. Sturgill Simpson.
By the way, I don't know if that's caring for your fans because you're not giving them time to go to the restroom either. I'm just saying.
I'm good with it.
Yeah, okay.
As somebody who regularly, when I was young, cool in a band, we played 4-hour shows, no breaks. Like, we all had one song somewhere in the middle where somebody would play your instrument so you could go pee, but, like, no breaks. We just rolled straight through because people don't want to stop partying. Anyway, Sturgill Simpson issuing a direct challenge to Lonzo's fake but totally not fake band, Rob's Hat. See, Lonzo, a number of years ago, came up with the concept that country music is easy. I disagree with him. Not the point. One of the songs that he came up with on the fly was a song called The Waffle House Serenade, a beautiful love song about the Wahoo. Sturgill Simpson was on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert the other day and issued a direct challenge to Lonzo and Rob's Hat. A little ode to the Wahoo. No shoes, no shirts, no knuckleheads. A love song to America's finest dining establishment, the Wahoo, from Sturgill Simpson. And I have to say,
should have copyrighted that art. Idea is what I should have done.
Art.
But, you know, that's okay.
Listen, there are songs in the Waffle House jukebox that are love songs about Waffle House. You ain't even close to the first guy to come up with idea for a love song about a Wahoo.
Yeah, it was stolen.
There are songs in the Waffle House jukebox about wanting to make love to a Waffle House waitress in the Waffle House. That's a love song.
I thought you were going to say the waffle. Wanted to make love to the waffle, I mean, and that would have been...
They're pretty good waffles.
There's some weird people. Okay, whatever you're
pretty
into.
Pretty good waffles.
All right, dude.
Hey, some people like to get food involved in their private life. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Okay, try not to get that freakiness in your head, because you probably won't be able to get it out. This has nothing to do with that, but the first thing that's Xing is, where's the beef?
Where's the beef? What a beautifully coincidental opening topic here for What the X. The old famous Wendy's old lady Where's the Beef commercial, which is, I got to assume, like 50 years old at this point. I have no idea why it's trending. I'm going to assume that, like, it is the anniversary of the commercial and people are just enjoying that old lady going, where's the beef?
All right. It's
which was fantastic.
It's one of two things. It's either... excuse me, a bunch of those show that you're a kid of the 80s things causes something to trend. And the other one is, I believe it was in Pennsylvania, a bunch of beef was stolen.
Where's the beef?
Yes.
And, I mean, that's just rude.
I mean, when I say a bunch, I mean like a truckload of beef was stolen.
How many hamburgers are you going to eat, my dude? I mean, they don't stay good forever.
Hey, buddy, check this out. Got your burgers right over here, right? You want some? I got some cheese on this side. Got your condiments.
That means we have a real-life Hamburglar now.
We do, which is amazing. All right, the next thing that's Xing is Jeremiah Smith.
Jeremiah Smith is Xing because Jeremiah Smith, along with Ryan Williams of Alabama, are the two players that will grace the cover of the NCAA 2026 EA Sports video game. The two cover athletes will be on the basic game. There will be a luxury edition game that will also have other big-time name. Reggie Bush is going to be on the cover. Good job on him making some NIL money. I hope Reggie's doing okay. But those two young men will be the cover athletes. Last year, they went with like 50 players on the cover all facing it, which I thought, honestly, was a dope cover for that box. This year, going back to the classics, two guys in front of their logos, and I'm in. I'm back, baby.
All right, the next thing is Xing is Switch 2.
Switch 2. I do not know why it is Xing. I know that pre-orders for the Switch 2 were opened up a while back, but then they went on pause because we didn't know how Donald Trump's tariffs were going to affect the ability to import the game, what the pricing change was going to be, et cetera, et cetera. Those tariffs, I believe at least parts of them, have been paused again for another 90 days.
So that's not what it is. A couple people have already got their Switch 2, but they can't play it until launch date. Because there's a launch date update. So they have it in hand, but they cannot play it until they download the upgrade on the launch date. That's kind of messed up.
That is kind of messed up. I am also going to say there is one thing, and I've been a Nintendo guy since I had my first Nintendo NES back in the day. Can I tell you one thing that's driving me crazy? When you buy a Switch 2 new, you are no longer buying a Switch 2. You are buying a license to use and operate a Switch 2. That Switch 2 still belongs to Nintendo, and they have already said that if you make any modifications to that hardware, they reserve the right to brick it from a distance remotely, meaning you can't use it anymore at all. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't own anything anymore.
We don't. And finally, the last thing that's Xing, unfortunately, is Rick Derringer.
Did Rick Derringer die?
He did. He died at 77. One of his most famous songs was Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo, and I wanted a chance to say Hoochie Coo. And the other thing is, he's a guy, was a real American. That was him.
He was indeed a real American. Fight for the rights of every man. I believe, if I recall correctly, and I heard this somewhere, I believe he was also part of the band when Hang on Sloopy dropped. So technically Derringer gets credit for Hang on Sloopy as well.
I think I read that earlier.
So there you go. R.I.P. Rick Derringer. That obviously means we all, as soon as this show's over, just go to Spotify and blast the theme song of that one wrestler nobody likes anymore, right?
Or Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo.
Or Rock and Roll. Just go into your office today and scream an RIP of Rick Derringer. Just open the office door and scream Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo.
Which around here would not be unusual.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Hey, speaking of fair, that's it for us. Thank you for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you didn't, you got bad taste in radio. Come back tomorrow. We'll try again and do a better job. Lulu Kessin talking Gamecocks. Rashad Beard talking Panthers. Hayden Asmario talking NBA. Lonzo talking Fight Club. And more all tomorrow on The Rob Brown Show and the Fan Up State. Later.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.